Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do love to tell the story, and the story today has to do with what Jesus was talking about in our gospel lesson for today from Matthew chapter 9. First of all, let me want to say that I'm thankful to you and to God for my opportunity to be here this morning, and as all of you are doing, we are continuing to pray for Pastor Dave that he soon gets back. And you can get used to him again, because I know every week you're going to have to get used to somebody else. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. By the way, it's Terry Nauman. I live in King George, Virginia, and I retired as pastor at Peace 4 years ago. So, who knows who Charlie Brown is? Okay, almost everybody knows who Charlie Brown. I know the children know, but the Peanuts comic strip is still in the paper every day. And I usually go to that one first. Because sometimes I relate to good old Charlie Brown. Because it seems like, well, he can never have what he wants. He is always seeking help. Whether it's on the baseball team, which loses every game. And he happens to be the manager of the team, as well as the pitcher. Or his other friends. But his favorite way to try to get help is to go visit Lucy. Lucy, you see, has this booth, kind of a counseling booth or for a counselor or whatever. And it says the doctor is in. And, of course, Charlie goes to tell his troubles to Lucy. But the problem is when he comes away, her advice makes him feel worse than when he went in. And he's out 5 cents. Don't we all sometime or other feel like Charlie Brown? Problems come our way, and maybe we think no one really cares. The stresses and strains of time schedules and job expectations and family responsibilities often seem overwhelming to us. Maybe there are things we feel guilty about, and we wonder, am I going to be leading that abundant life that God intends for me? And you got to wonder maybe if Matthew might have been feeling that way before that glorious day when Jesus happened to walk by and call him from, of all places, the tax booth. Not the favorite place for most of us, I think. But here he was calling Matthew. Not only was he calling him to follow him, he says, hey, I'm going to come to your house today. And Matthew was overjoyed and invited him and the disciples to come and have a banquet with them. Must have been a banquet because it wasn't just Jesus and the disciples, but it was Matthew's colleagues, friends. Not sure. They're identified by Matthew in his writing and by the enemies of Jesus, the Pharisees, as tax collectors and sinners. The reading doesn't really talk about Matthew's emotional state one way or the other, except that Jesus called him to be a disciple. And we know what happened. He was healed. He was healed. We do know that a man sick with sin was cured by the great physician. And we need to remember from our text what Matthew is telling us. Hey, the doctor is in. And then Jesus says, go and learn what this means. What does it mean? Well, first of all, we got to figure out who needs a doctor. Now, there are some times when maybe I'd need a doctor, and I'm not so sure I want to go to one. Maybe I got an ache or pain or something going on in my life that, hey, I don't need to see anybody. I'll be fine. My wife will tell you that I'm doing that all the time. How are you today? I'm fine, whether I really am or not. But it's okay. But if you're healthy, you're not going to go see a doctor. And Jesus talks about it in our text. He says, the righteous, and we put that in quotes, of course. The righteous are things who think that they are just fine. But they actually have a deadly disease and they refuse to admit it. And that sometimes is a problem we might have. We know we are sinners. We say that at the beginning of every service, we admit our sins, but sometimes I wonder if we're really serious about that. Maybe we don't really want to admit what's going on. Maybe we think we can do it ourselves. And the only thing that can really keep us from God's cure is ourselves. One of my favorite places in the Bible to go when things are going bad is the last part of Romans chapter 8, where he talks about what can separate us from the love of God. In fact, he asks that question, who will separate us, tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then he says, I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there's one thing he leaves out. Self. Self. We might be the ones who put a wall up between us and Christ by thinking that we're fine, that we are the righteous ones. And that only keeps us away from the remedy that we all need. The sick are invited to the only remedy that really works. Hosea knew about this in our Old Testament lesson because he says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that, what, he might heal us. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to those outcasts. Now, who are the tax collectors and sinners, and I hope nobody works for the IRS here, that need Christ today? Kids in trouble? People who ignore God and the church? Those people suffering from criminal charges? Families dealing with secret problems? Wondering if we've got nowhere to turn? Sinners like us, who in moments of despair can think that there is no hope for help and healing. And the devil is very good at coming to us and accusing us of being too bad for God. Thank God he's a liar. Because Jesus came to save who? The ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul tells us. When we were enemies of God, Jesus came to die on the cross to make us, what? Into God's friends. To make us healing. We are God's people who are healed. Henry W. Beecher talks about the church. He says, the church is not a gallery for the exhibition of eminent Christians, but a school for the education of imperfect ones, a nursery for the care of weak ones, a hospital for the healing of those who need assiduous care. So the first thing we need to do is in discipleship is to face this fact. Listening to Jesus and go and learn what this means. And so we're here. And I hope throughout the week in your devotions and Bible studies, you're there at the feet of Jesus, the great physician, to face the fact that we need him. He calls us, you see, first of all, to repentance. Repentance. Follow me from Jesus means to stop following sinful ways, which is really any way that puts God aside, whatever it might be. Whether it's fear because we think God can't handle our problems, or whether it's other things that take over our lives, money or family or jobs or leisure time, whatever it might be. What we need to do is go to God every day and put our baptisms to work. For we do that when we remember the washing of holy baptism that forgives us our sins. Every time we repent and seek God's forgiveness, we are washed clean again. And then God does even more. He gives us his precious, Jesus gives us his precious body and blood to forgive us and strengthen us through the sacrament of the altar. So we as healed people can produce actions of mercy to others. Matthew is an example. Now, I did some research on Matthew and couldn't find out too much about him. Nothing else that the Bible speaks of except one important thing. He wrote a whole gospel, 28 chapters. Dr. Jeff Gibbs, who writes some of the commentary in the Lutheran Study Bible, he wrote a huge commentary on Matthew. He says, Matthew the apostle extended the scriptures of Israel by authoritatively narrating how the end-time reign of God has broken into this world through the historical deeds and words of Jesus of Nazareth, God's own son. So, Matthew responded in faith, as did the other apostles, a faith that sometimes was pretty weak. But Jesus was there. And he sends his Holy Spirit to all of them on Pentecost as he continues to send his Spirit to us to respond in faith, trusting in his mercy. Saying that at the beginning, today his mercy calls us to wash away our sins, to lead us in the right way, to follow what Solomon said in Proverbs, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Why? Because Jesus heals us and empowers us. Our response to faith can be like Abraham's, which we heard about in New Testament or epistle lesson today. He had this hope in God's promises. Most of us would have given up on God a long time before if we were like Abraham. But God kept him in faith. God has called all his people to share that unlimited mercy. How does he do that? By accepting the unacceptable, by helping the hurting, by serving as instruments of the doctor for healing others, by bringing them the soothing message of God's love and word and deed. Jesus' association with Matthew and his friends prompted a very important question from those Pharisees. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? His answer is for us as much as for those first century critics. The sick need healing, and he's the doctor. We praise and thank God that by his grace Christ has healed us. Because we believe in Jesus, we are then to be his way of showing mercy to others. People who are in need of spiritual relief from sin, and yes, the threat of eternal death. He is calling us, like he called Matthew, to bring God's life-giving message to the world. Jesus is the healer. He came, he cares for people, so that we, who know that by God's grace and by the power of his Spirit, we can joyfully tell others, hey, the doctor is in. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds